The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms. It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And not only is this week no exception, today we've got a breakthrough show. Let me tell you a little bit about it. Start with a question for you. Did you know that all animals, especially the highly intuitive equines, which is horses, can read your mind, feel your emotions, and understand your spiritual signature even before you meet them? My special guest, Ellen Cohn, works with animals, works with horses in New Mexico, and she channels animals. And she has worked with three specific horses over the past, 10, 20 years or so. And they have channeled a book through her called Be Like the Wind, Three Equines Channel Spiritual Light. We're going to talk about that. But not only that, we are going to actually speak with, and I'm going to interview one of the horses, the one that's still alive. His name is Romeo. He's a wild Mustang that has been with Ellen for a number of years now. And we're going to do this. I interviewed him live, and it was an amazing experience that I'm going to share with you today. And I think you're really going to enjoy our conversations because you'll, like myself, you probably don't realize how intuitive and highly intelligent animals are across the animal kingdom. And horses, obviously, are really special. They're beautiful, beautiful creatures, but they're also highly intelligent, highly intuitive, highly spiritual. We're going to do it all right here on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, guys, radio, it is the interview portion of our show, and I'm delighted to welcome to the show Ellen Cohn, who's written this wonderful book, Be Like the Wind, Three Equines Channel Spiritual Light. I'm holding it up for our YouTube and Rumble audience, and it's a story of three horses that Ellen has worked with and raised and loved, talking to mankind about what we need to know, about how much horses know and how much animals know and how much their message of love is so relevant and important. And Ellen does a lot of metaphysical work as a medium, a Reiki healer, so many other skills that she has. And I'm delighted to invite her on the show and have her be there. And we've been working together for the past week with my animal, my cat Suki, and she's been incredibly helpful. And I'm so delighted that she's here today. So welcome to Guys Radio, Ellen Cohn.
Thank you very much, Robert. It's an honor to be here today.
Well, it's an honor for me also. And if we're lucky, we're going to have one of the horses who is alive now, Romeo, be on the show. And I'm going to ask him a couple of questions. And we're going to work telepathically through Ellen. So thank you for that possibility. But let's start at the beginning, because you're not one of a kind, but you're one of a few of people who can communicate telepathically with animals, and in this case, horses. And horses seem to be at a pretty much high vibration, even in the animal kingdom. So tell us about how this happened to you when you were a little girl, how you got involved in this.
Well, it was one of those things, Robert, where you look back and you go, oh, it was happening to me and I didn't know it. It was happening when a wild pigeon landed on my shoulder and went home with me, like it didn't leave. It happened when I started riding and I got run away with at age 4, and I didn't have a disconnect. I didn't give up. I didn't have a lifelong fear of horses. I had a passion at age 4 and it never left. So little by little, even Billy in the day gave me some very strong messages when my dad died, and I didn't know till I started deep diving into this world that he knew what was going on and he was awake and he was helping me wake up. But in the day, I just thought it was really strange that he was taking me on a trail ride in a way he had never done. He was cooperating. He was agreeing. And I was like, this is weird. What's he doing? He never goes through that gate alone. And he did.
Let's talk about the three horses a little bit, because I think people would be very interested to know. You have Billy, Monty, and I think they both passed, and now Romeo, who you're working with now. Yeah. And they all had different personalities. And tell us just a little bit about the three different horses and how they're different and how they're the same.
Billy was a show horse. He started out in conformation like a beauty queen. He was a magnificent thoroughbred, but not raced. And then he became a show jumper, and he had no connection with his humans, valued for his beauty and his talent. So when I met him, he started being funny. And I just had never met a horse who was like a dog. And that was him. So we connected on the human to horse level through seeing who he was. I didn't care about, I couldn't. I wasn't into all those things. But he taught me that. And then Monty came along while Billy was alive. And it was clear afterwards that they were having discussions about how to be with a human, because Monty was broken to the point of near death when I got him. He would have been categorized on the scale, if you go to the veterinary scales, of starving. He was just a bag of bones. So through Monty's healing, Billy kind of taught him certain things, and Monty helped me heal through a lot of fear. And then along comes Romeo, which is a great story, through a Mustang rescue and then living in the prison system till he was 12 or 14. And I go to get a different horse and I come home with Romeo, and he is really shared a lot about his trauma and his capture. So and he's the love bug of them. They were all very, very loving. But as Honey just saw a minute ago, he just came up and put his head on my shoulder and lived right up to his name in the moment. I said to her, he had a different name and I changed it before I met him. And he is a Romeo.
Now, what's amazing is that it seems like the horses can read our thoughts from based on your book. And again, it is a wonderful book. It's not a long book. It's about 160 pages. And I read through it and I got so much out of it because a lot of it is about, the first part is about the three horses and their journeys. And they talk about their current their lives, what happened to them, very articulately, and then kind of some of their past lives. And then it gets into the teachings that horses have for mankind. And it's all about love. It's all about your divine blueprint. How your spirit team works with you and living in the moment and portals to the spirit realm and how to communicate with your animals. I just have so many questions about this because it's just so beautiful to know. But about how these animals know us so well. How do they read our thoughts? What do they tell you about how they know what we're thinking ahead of time? How do they let you know about that?
Call it precog, because when I've put a question out to them, it comes back so fast. Like they already knew what I was going to ask them. Or a couple of weeks ago, I went out and I hauled Romeo and Blackie to a trail and I was really nervous, because I knew there'd be bikes and dogs and I hadn't done it in years and years. And I said to Romeo, I'm just going to tell you, I'm really nervous. He's like, I already know that. I can tell. And he could see my vibration of nervousness anyway, but he knew I was thinking that I had to tell him to get it out there. I'm nervous.
Now, Ellen, when you get that message, and it's very clear in the book, it's beautifully written. And how do they... How does the message come into you telepathically? Is it a voice or are they just words? Is it a knowing or all three?
All of it. And often, especially with Monty in the early days, if I would come in too quickly into his energy field, he'd be like, you're not bringing that in here right now. You better get yourself grounded and sorted. Like it was body language, like that frequency of you're a high intensity and I'm already a mess. It's not going to work. Wow. And it did in the beginning. I mean, you couldn't get a saddle on him. He would be spinning and jumping. He couldn't pick up his feet. He was just ready to run. He had that flight instinct and out of there.
Mm-hmm. How are horses different from other animals in terms of their vibration and the fact that they are so majestic? Obviously, they're beautiful animals and they work with humanity, and humanity has not treated them well in many instances, yet they still love us unconditionally. What makes horses so special in the animal kingdom?
I find they're really grounded. There is something about having those big, long legs connected to the earth that when you get up there, and even people who are around them can feel how solidly connected and grounded they are to Mother Earth, and therefore to all the frequencies of the earth itself and the people and the mess we're making around us. They get it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned in the book, or one of the horses mentioned, that they have a cord that goes into their ground and goes through way into the earth. And that keeps them grounded. And they urged us to, you know, do the earthing type of things. So we ground to Mother Earth because it's a living, breathing entity. How did that come about? Why can a horse do that?
I remember distinctly feeling it, and I think I was riding Romeo, how I felt the energy go through my core, and I'm like, wait, I can't ground myself because I'm 3 feet above, but then I felt it go through his legs and go, oh, you're grounding for both of us. So I was out here riding and I got that hit for a chapter in the book that this is how it came in. I'd be in a car and I'd get a word and I go, I have to write a chapter, or I'd be riding, or I'd be doing something around the horses that would give me a message, or they would say something to me. I remember asking Monty, what's going to happen if you die before Romeo? Oh, well, he'll take my place. Oh, okay.
Now, there's a couple of things to unpack there in terms of, let's talk about writing the book first. How did the idea of the book come about? And then what was the process? You kind of touched on it in terms of, you are writing the book, getting the information, and then putting it down on paper or computer, however you did it. And it's like edited. Did you do the editing, or it seems pretty, it's very clean.
fine tuning, definitely, especially with past lives. I came right out and said, tell me about your past lives. And I would get a picture and I go, okay, you look like you were a crusader horse. Tell me more. Because they don't really know dates and times. And I did some research, like, it looks like this might have been the king. Would it have been in Spain? And then I was getting, yes, yes. And, you know, different things like that. But the book started writing Monty, and it was a joke. I said to him, what's your life advice for the day? And I heard, be like the wind. And I said, whoa, that's a huge message. I pulled out my phone and I wrote it in there. And I'm like, I think I'm supposed to write a book about this, because this is not in like one word topic. It's how to do that. How does a human become like the wind? And that was the beginning of the book.
Well, let's talk about that, because that is the name of the book and that is the message. And ultimately, as you get through the book, you realize it's kind of go with the flow and don't resist and surrender in a positive way. The surrender doesn't mean giving up. It means connecting with spirit, with God. Talk to us about be like the wind. What does that mean?
It's exactly the things you just said, Robert, because if you surrender to the now, the what is, actually, your life can be easier in many ways, because you aren't fighting against the current. You aren't struggling necessarily to understand the circumstances around a trauma. You don't have all the answers unless you believe that the spirit world has a plan and that it knows what's coming in some ways and how to deal with it, and that you don't have to navigate it alone. I was reading something today that I forget what it was about, somebody just help when they needed spiritual help. I have done that, stood out in the back corral where we'll be in a few minutes, and looked up and said, help. And I've gotten help. It wasn't a fancy prayer. It wasn't a plea. It was just, okay, spirit, I'm in a jam here. Help me. And I've received help. It's amazing. And that's a huge, huge way of surrendering, is to just turn it over.
Do animals know fear, or do they respond through their instincts? They know danger, but that's different than knowing that being afraid, and particularly with death.
I believe they're not afraid to die. I believe, like us, they don't want to suffer. But I do not believe, because I was taught in the early days that dying is like taking your coat off. It's changing form, you know, from the physical to the non-physical. And some of them welcome it. You know, if they're really tired and old, they don't want to be around. So they might want to go be with their spirit, you know, family or whatever. But they do have other kinds of fear for sure, especially horses. You know, they could fear a mailbox. You know, when Romeo came to me in Colorado, and I assumed, because he was a trainer's horse, that he had all those tools. He did not. So I would go riding down the road in my neighborhood and a mailbox would spook him, a truck. So I had a lot of new tools to help him trust me to be out there together trail riding, which is riskier than riding in an arena where you got a fence.
Amazing. And they know when it's time. Do they know about what is their connection with spirit? How do they get their information? Like, how did they get the information to articulate this book so beautifully to you? Are they channeling spirit and you're channeling them? Is that how it works?
Yes, I do. I do, because how did they channel the Equine Council? How did they present that the three of them were chosen? Like, that was a huge surprise to me that, oh, the number three is meaningful. The order synchronistically that you appeared in my life was meaningful. And the messages, you're each so different. But even now, two are in spirit, you're giving me messages from the other side. Like, especially Billy in the beginning, oh, you were part of this plan? I didn't know that. And then I couldn't organize the book. I tried and tried, outline after outline, and it became clear they wanted to do it their way.
Now, you still communicate with Billy and Monty after they've crossed over?
Yep. Yeah.
And how do you, do they reach out to you, or do you reach out to them? And do they still communicate with Romeo?
Yes, both ways. And particularly, I'm in a Sunday group every other Sunday with four or five regulars. And Monty comes almost every Sunday. And one of the women in the group's like, Monty's here. And I go, yeah, I know. So it's really funny. And not as much Billy, but if I did reach out and talk to him, he would respond.
Unbelievable. Ellen Cohn, my special guest on Guys, Guys Radio. The book, once again, is called Be Like the Wind. I highly recommend it. Three Equines channel spiritual light. What's going on over there for them? What do they say? What is it like on the other side for, in general, and for animals and for horses?
It's very peaceful. It's very beautiful. There are no rules over there. It's a little hard for us to understand how like they could not be in a body but be here right now. And I have felt that with family members right where I'm sitting. I have felt the presence of a family member at times with me because we did a lot of kind of meditative things in this room where I'm sitting. So they just kind of show up, you know, or in a dream. I never knew about dream work or astral connection. You know, then I learned it all as I kept going that that is a real visitation. A dream is for sure that they were here in another form.
And how long do they stay on? Well, let's talk about this because it was relevant to what we had spoken to about earlier in the week. You have a connection with these beautiful animals, and you may have you had connections with them in previous lives, and do you think they're going to come back? Obviously, they're with you in your heart in this life, as Romeo is with you physically. Will they join you again in another incarnation? Has that all been worked out, or is it a free
No.
choice, or how does that work?
I have a cat right now who's the third incarnation of an original black and white cat that came from a joking prayer many years ago, and then another one, and now this guy, Pippin. I hope it's not our last round together. He's only four. And then there was a dog situation where we had a dog who died. Well, it wasn't sudden on his end, but it seemed very sudden on our end. And I got a reading with somebody who's trained in the way I'm trained. And she said that I had been a shaman in a past life and he had been a child that I had been unable to heal. And once she gave me that reading, I did start to heal. Now, in Monty's case, he also died very suddenly in a period of 2, 3 days, here today, big and shiny and gorgeous, gone tomorrow. I kept asking him, why? Why did you have to leave so suddenly? You left a void, you left a shock. Romeo and I couldn't drive a car without feeling scared and unsafe in a car. And he told me, because it was time for me to go, I was your protector. You weren't moving forward in your spiritual journey. And if I lingered sick, you would have made yourself crazy trying to heal me. And I believe that to be true.
So he gave himself up for you and your karma or whatever.
I think so.
Yeah, that
And
sounds.
then I started doing a lot of readings, and I have shared nine past lives with him.
Wow.
That also was a closure why the grief was so deep.
Now, how did you know when for the cats, for instance, when they came back, the different ones you've had, that they were a different, were they a different? Were they the same spirit in a different animal? And how did you know that?
They have a lot of the same characteristics. Like Pippin actually really is similar to the first one, Kiki, the way he bites me, the way he's demanding. I don't have never had another cat like that. And now we have four. So they're all different. And Pippin, I was doing a breath work session, which I haven't pursued, but one of our kids was training in it. And we were practicing. And I did a session and I don't know if it happens to anybody else, and it wasn't anything like I don't do drugs or anything, but I kind of left my body and I saw a black and white cat in my meditative state. And I'm like, oh, he's coming back as another black and white cat. And I went looking and I went connecting with all these kittens on Craigslist until I felt that magnet, that's him. And
How long was it since the previous version of this soul was in your life?
So Marco died in, it was probably only a couple months or
Okay.
less. And I went looking right away because I just am one of those that when that happens, I'm not leaving the void. I'm not with horses necessarily, because that's a right. big thing to have an extra horse around. But with a cat or dog, and it happened with the dog too. The one little pot, Simon from the Bahamas, died of complications from tick fever. And we went to New York that day to surprise our son for his birthday. And in Chinatown, I saw two dogs that looked exactly like him. And I said to my husband, you don't see big dogs in Chinatown. That's a sign. We went back to our boy's apartment, opened up the rescue. There were two dogs named Simon on the rescue. I said, that's another sign. Wow. Our dog is named Simon. Then he's sending me two more Simons. And when then we saw our current dog, Pepper, I knew it wasn't Simon, but he sent Pepper.
Okay. He definitely How'd you know? How did you know that real quick?
Because Pepper is the most exuberant, goofy, funny, wacky dog. And Simon was the most fearful, shut down. He sent somebody totally different. I knew it. I knew the synchronicity of seeing the dogs in Chinatown, seeing the two names, looking at Pepper, and we both lit up.
So the way this works is the animal will say, I'm going to come back as this other animal and, you know, put myself there so you know it's me. Or do they say, I'm going to pick out another animal that's, I think, is perfect for you based on where you are in your journey? Which way does it go? Or both?
Both. Okay. Because I've helped clients find their dogs, you know, and kind of go into these deep meditative trance-like states where I'll say to the client, I think your new puppy is going to be black. This happened with a client. And when we went to look at the puppy, she said, she has a crescent moon on her chest. And I've been seeing moons. And this woman was very spiritual. And the puppy flea bit her cheeks. And Christine said, that's definitely Dina. That's what Dina did. I know this, my dog. So she got this.
I'm losing track of time here. I want to get to Romeo. So why don't you walk outside? So we're Ellen is at her ranch in New Mexico, and she's going to walk outside. And I was introduced to Romeo earlier. Let's see if we can get him on the air right now. And we'll talk. But let's talk while you're heading outside and getting set up here. Okay.
Bundle up, so we're gonna get boots and coats and hats.
Okay, and boots and coats and hats are coming. I'm gonna keep talking to you while we're doing that because we're on the air. And so the animals, do they know then when it's time for them to go? Like you said, Monty was there, and did he sacrifice himself for you? Was it his time for himself? It's my time to go, or did he go for you? Because it seems like the love that. The amount of love, the unconditional love that these animals have for us is beyond anything we can comprehend. I've never felt more loving than with my cat, Suki, and I'm realizing that now, and also with these animals I'm reading about in the book, that they would do anything for us and they ask for nothing in return. They hope that we love them.
Yes, I would agree to that. And love is truly the healing force, Robert. For all of us. I mean, we often get wrapped up in resentment and anger with other people. But if we can come to a place of forgiveness in our lives, that is the key to freedom.
Mm-hmm. Now, when we're going outside to talk to Romeo now, did you ask Romeo if he'd be available to come on my show? And did you show him a photo of me or anything to say, hey, this guy wants to talk to you or what?
I just prepared him, said you're going to be on video tomorrow.
All right. So your camera is, you're a little bit sideways. There we go. And Ellen's headed, for those on audio only, we're outside at Ellen's ranch in New Mexico. We're going to go talk to Monty, the beautiful Mustang that Ellen lives with, cares for, and who communicates with us. And there is Honey, Ellen's co-worker. Hi, Honey. How are you? And we're outside now. And I'm here in California on Zoom, and they are at the ranch and they're heading into the stable to get Romeo. And we're going to ask Romeo a couple of questions. So I was writing down wondering what can I ask him? What do we want to know? So basically, I think we should start with, once we get Romeo, we're coming close to him now, Ellen?
Yes. And you're going to have a little chorus. Because the donkeys, let me flip the camera.
We got some, and there's some, Ellen's got a couple of donkeys. Okay, and
there's Romeo. Over here, he's a new one. Talk about trauma. this guy. He's unwinding it. And here's Romeo waiting.
There he is. Hello, Romeo.
Homer?
Hello. Hi, buddy. How are you? I've been reading all about you, and I'm so delighted that you're going to be communicating with us. And I really thank you. And thank you for your wonderful message to humanity. So
I'm going to give the phone to Honey.
Okay.
Romeo and I can stand here together.
Okay. So why don't I just keep going while we're doing it? There's Honey, and she's going to get Romeo.
Oh, I got to quit. Hold on. There we go.
All right. Okay. So Romeo, first of all, thank you for great to meet you. Thank you for being on our show. And I guess number one is, what is the message, overall message that you have for us, for humanity? Because you're such a beautiful animal and horses are so beautiful. And I know you guys have not been treated well over the years, but what do you want people to know about what it's like to be a horse and how we can be as gentle and kind as we need to be with animals? What do we need to know, Romeo?
I would say what you're sharing, he's sharing with us, is be as respectful to us as you are to each other. We have the same feelings and emotions as you do. We might be living in a different body, but we count. We count in the world.
Well, thank you for being so forgiving, because I know a lot of times humans take our animal brothers and sisters for granted, and it's wrong. And you have been, how do you have such unconditional love for us when you haven't been treated well by humanity over the years in many cases?
I'm hearing him say it only takes one human to connect with, so we can really do the healing. You know, the ones that like have lived in the prison system that were captured in his case, or Blackie, who's over here, who didn't really have any human love. I know that now after a year of being with him. Now he's got it, and he's almost surprised at times, like, I'm being treated like this. I never knew that before. So it just takes one, as you know, one friend, one partner, one child to show you the way. And we're kind of that conduit for the animals.
Now, do you communicate also telepathically with the, obviously Ellen has cats and there's other animals. There's the donkeys there. I'm getting a nod. You're nodding. Yes, you communicate that with them also. And do you use the whinnying and vocally, or is it telepathically the way the animals communicate with each other?
Oh, they do it in so many interesting ways, with their ears, with the way they just now position the body. He's like, wait a minute, what are you doing? You're getting treats in there. He's going to show you the nose, but language for them is important. And yet, you know, Luna in the back, like, she's always talking.
Now, do all the animals love each other, or do you feel ever fear from other animals, from predators or anything? Or how does the animal kingdom kind of work together that way?
Like, they have a hierarchy. I know horses do, who's the lead horse. Cats, they're territorial. These guys aren't, but they, Blackie, when he came, was very food protective. So, and I've had horses here that have been bullies because they've been starving, but not this guy. He's so gentle. He will let the donkeys eat with him. He's like their grandfather. They just love him, but they don't go eat with Blackie.
Now, how do you communicate, Romeo, with your friends, Monty and Billy, and your family on the other side? Do you stay? Is it just as easy for you to communicate with those who have passed in this physical plane than it is to communicate with, you know, folks like Ellen or myself right now?
Can you clarify?
Is it easy to communicate with those who are on the other side as easy it is for you and other horses to communicate with those in this physical plane?
Yes.
Wow. And what can you tell me, Biss, that we just met? Do you know anything? Can you tell anything about me just from our meeting right now?
All right. Give me a moment. Well, I'm getting a feeling of a past life, Robert, and you know I would like to do this for you at some point, a full-on reading, but I feel, I'm almost feeling like an Egyptian scribe
like you were part of a royal family, but you were the record keeper. You were the one that kept track of all the details in those lives. That's what I'm getting right now, your detail. And you have a lot of deep spiritual knowledge and also like record keeping, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Could I ask you, Romeo, could you ask Monty or Billy if they can reach out to my cat who recently passed, Suki, on the other side to make sure she's okay? I got a nod there.
Yeah, and I feel like she's either with her litter mates, if you knew that, or who they were and where they were.
Yeah, she had a big brother.
Yeah, I feel like she's with a similar energy, like litter mate.
Okay, well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. And what else do we need to know about humanity? Where are we going? Can you look into the future at all as to what's going on planet Earth? Because we hear so many different things about changes and ascension and good stuff and bad stuff. What do you and the other horses see as forthcoming for mankind?
Well, chapter in the book that I believe in strongly is about the rage, the anger that we all carry. And it comes out in various ways, but if we don't get a handle on this internal rage that's feeding into all of the Earth's systems, the politics, the governments, the economics, I think, you know, it's going to take down some systems, but it's also going to maybe...
He's going to bug him.
Hi.
Romeo just came up to the camera there.
See, he doesn't even need a halter. He just knew, like, mm-hmm. I gently moved him out of the way. I didn't become harsh or big. I just gently pushed him. He knew he was pushing our boundary. You got to go there. It's this, I don't know, like, we need to get back to our connection to the roots of what we're here to do, which my opinion is to be of service, whatever that means. Help another, treat others with kindness, be authentic, you know, bring in your personal power from within, and not your job, your money, your cars, your this, your that. Like, just be, and do it with realness. That's not even a word, but be like them. They're just who they are. They move through life with acceptance and willingness and partnership. We can do it. We're not so different in some ways, somebody.
Well, thank you, Romeo. Is there any, I don't want to keep you on air too long. You've been wonderful. Anything else that we need to know beyond what Ellen just articulated? Because I want to get this message out to everybody that, you know, the animal, you are so unconditionally loving. You are very, very articulate. And you are, I think you're honored that you got to write this book. And thank you. Your writing is wonderful that you've channeled from spirit.
Thank you. Thank you. I think that you've got all the main messages, and I'm not a fan of capturing wild animals and keeping them in the captivity. That's my personal thing. I'm a big fan of helping the Mustangs across the country live in the wild. That's where I land and what I like to do. So I follow the news. I sign everything because I think there's enough land in this country to have them all and to get along with the cattle ranchers and get along with the farmers and make it work. If there are ways, you have to figure it out. But so let's look at his brand. So this, he's mm-hmm. got a coat. This is where he was branded by the BLM.
Okay.
And it looks like hieroglyphics, but each of these, when he's not furry, has like where he was born, Susanville, California, you know, all the important stuff. And this guy, if you look at his profile, is very Spanish. You know, he's got this sloped nose, I think. Well, and he also told me he was from, you know, Spanish origins, but he's just a great, stocky, strong guy. And he's 24. He's not a youngster.
Wow. So what's your favorite food, Romeo? And what's your favorite activity?
Just gave him one, a peppermint.
Peppermint.
My pocket, and I gave him one a minute ago, but not two, just one.
Do you like carrots, Romeo?
Yeah, he does, but he's lost.
Apples?
his teeth. They do that when they get older. So parents have to be little. I don't know if we could see in there, but his back teeth are, some of them are gone back here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, or okay. Short. Nobody.
Well, what a wonderful, you're such a wonderful animal, and we should treat you as equals, and you've just shown humanity such unconditional love and the gift of this book. How does spirit come to you, Romeo, to get this book written? How did you know to do this? Because it's a wonderful thing you're doing, and the book is beautiful. How does spirit communicate with you?
He says spirit is always around me, every minute. It's here. It's like he lives in a bubble almost, that he is just, you know, if you study Kabbalah, we're 99.9999% spirit, and like that 0.0001% 1% form. These guys are living that. In other words, if he needed something, he just has to plug into his own guides and his own angels. They're there. Us, we might have to go through a little more prep and getting really quiet, but not them. They can switch it on, in my opinion, very quickly.
Well, I think Romeo was, he's walked off, so I think he's done his bit with us, and I thank you, Romeo. A pleasure and an honor to meet you, and hopefully there's another book in you that'll come through, and it's delighted and honored to have met you, and hopefully we can chat again at some point. You've been super helpful to me, and I appreciate you, and I think all the folks out there through the book and just through our conversation now will get something out of it and add value. So thank you, buddy. Thank you, Romeo.
Thank you.
Now go play. Have some fun.
All right. We can open the gate. He's still looking for treats that I've got in my pocket. But he's not obnoxious. He's not nippy. He knows, don't you? Got to be respectful, huh?
So, Ellen, just from your perspective in working with Romeo, is this the first time we've gotten Romeo on the air and been interviewed?
It is. It's his first.
Well, I hope we can do it again because he was fantastic. And it's all working out wonderfully. Again, the name of the book is Be Like the Wind, my special guest, Ellen Cohn. It's the channel teachings of three horses. And it's about the three horses in the first half of the book. And the second half is about all the spiritual teachings about heartbreak and grief and soul healing and impermanence. And it's just the soul. What is your soul? Universal law. And Romeo, you're still here. It's amazing. The book is amazing. And when you're channeling this, do you understand these concepts also that you're sharing with us?
Oh, yes. That was a little naughty, getting a little grabby. Yes, I do. And yes, I study it daily. And I try very hard to walk in that grace, because otherwise my life would not be what it is today. Let's just put it simply that I look at the mountains, I draw it in, and I know there's a lot bigger reality, a non-reality in a way, out there that's invisible, but it's real, the spirit realm.
Okay.
Robert, may I put a plug in for all the proceeds?
Absolutely.
This book are going to my nonprofit in the Bahamas. 100% of any money that comes in is going to be donated to a nonprofit I started over 20 years ago. High Kill Shelter in Freeport. They've survived at least 5 hurricanes since I started in 2002-03. And they need the money. So I'm not looking to make money. I want to.
Absolutely. Okay. This has been wonderful. I thank you. Ellen Cohn, once again, the name of the book. And again, the profits go to a great charity. Ellen Cohn, Be Like the Wind. I highly recommend this book. It is beautiful. It's one of the best, if not the best, spiritual metaphysical book that I've read. It's beautifully written. And I thank you, Romeo. I thank you, Billy. I thank you, Monty, for the work you're doing and for mankind and all the love you're sharing with us.
Okay.
And thank you, Ellen Cohn, for being on Guys Guys Radio. I hope we can do it again.
Me too.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fantastic and breakthrough conversation with renowned psychic and animal communicator Ellen Cohn and her horse Romeo. You know, Romeo's a Mustang. He was captured from the wild at the age of 2. And in the book, Be Like the Wind, he recounts the pain of being separated from his family, the trauma of witnessing other Mustangs perishing during a helicopter roundup, which how they kind of pull all these horses together, and Romeo's journey from the wild to working with inmates in a prison rehab program. It's amazing. And his kindness to show up on the show for us today and to work through Ellen and give us some answers to what's going on now for humanity, his perspective, and how horses see their relationship with divinity as well as with humanity. Really amazing, amazing stuff. And so very special shout out and thank you to Ellen Cohn and her Mustang Romeo. And, you know, Ellen and I connected a few weeks ago prior to the interview, and she said she could communicate with my cat, Suki. So my wife and I crafted 10 questions. We sent them over, and we got the responses back of Ellen channeling Suki, and they were right in line with our little furry creature, and so much love there. And it really dimensionalized even deeper our affection for our Suki. Helping us see beyond human limitations and bracing a higher consciousness through these horses, the three horses that Ellen has worked with for the last, I don't know, 10 or 20 years, Monty, Romeo, of course, and Billy. And the first half of the book is about the three horses and their kind of their story, their backstory. And then the second half of the book is really about the teachings that the horses are bringing us from divinity, if you will. Now, you could say, what are you talking about? That is too crazy. And that's up to you. But I would suggest that regardless of what you may believe about that, the book is filled with great insights and learning about how we can live our best lives, about our divine truths, our divine blueprints. The messages from the book transcend even the fact that we are, and Ellen has been channeling these animals to get this information. Just as this is it's mind-blowing, but it's so authentic and the messages are so positive. It's worth checking out. And of course, we really enjoyed our conversation with Romeo today. He was so so giving and so open, and it was a cool thing we did here on Guys Guys Radio. That's a first. That's the first time I have interviewed an animal. And it wasn't Mr. Ed, but Romeo was so cool and so kind and so gentle. We're very appreciative of Ellen and her gift. And again, the book is Be Like the Wind. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.